Thank you for that spontaneous special. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the letter that Paul wrote, the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. We're going to be reading from the second chapter, verses 1 through 5, and then again verses 13 through 17. Hear the word of God for us this morning. Brothers and sisters, we have a request for you concerning our Lord Jesus Christ's coming and when we are gathered together to be with him. We don't want you to be easily confused in your mind or upset if you hear that the day of the Lord is already here. Whether you hear it through some spirit, a message, or a letter supposedly from us, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. That day won't come unless the rebellion comes first and the person who is lawless is revealed and who is headed for destruction. He is the opponent of every so-called God or object of worship and promotes himself over them. So he sits in God's temple, displaying himself to show that he is God. You remember that I used to tell you these things while I was with you, don't you? But we always must thank God for you, brothers and sisters, who are loved by God. This is because he chose you from the beginning to be the first crop of the harvest. This brought salvation through your dedication to God by the Spirit and through your belief in the truth. God called all of you through our good news so you could possess the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold on to the traditions we taught you, whether we taught you in person or through our letter. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and a good hope. May he encourage your hearts and give you strength in every good thing you do or say. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we have at least two people in our congregation who have birthdays this week, which feeds right into the beginning of my sermon. Perfect timing, guys. Thank you. So I want you to imagine that you are sitting there on your birthday with your birthday cake right in front of you. Now, you can think of how many candles you want on that cake. Just pretend it's whatever birthday you want it to be. You know, it could be 29 for the 29th time. That's fine. Well, anyway, I want you to think, make your wish, and blow out your candles. So what did you wish for? How is wishing different from hoping? One way that we define a wish is as a want or a desire for something specific, like, I wish I had that new car, or I wish I had that perfect outfit. I wish I had that lottery ticket that won the $1 million. A hope is very similar to a wish, and many people use them interchangeably, but I prefer the definition for hope that goes like this: to have confidence, trust. It's different than just wishing. To put our hope in something is to put our trust in it, to have confidence in it. Now, theologically, hope is something of faith, while a wish is just our desire. We may want our wishes to come true, but often we wish for things that we know are not possible. It's like finding the wishing star and saying, "Starlight, star bright, I wish I may, I wish I might have the wish I wish tonight." But to hope is something entirely different. To put our hope in something means that we're trusting in something stronger than ourselves to make it happen. We have faith in it. In today's scripture lesson, Paul speaks of a good hope. This hope is something concrete. What is this hope that Paul speaks of? This hope is Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and a good hope. May he encourage your hearts and give you strength in every good thing you do or say. For Paul, all of our hope rests in Christ. We were called to this hope, the one hope in Jesus Christ. Paul understands Christ as both a fulfilled and yet a not fulfilled hope. It is a hope fulfilled through Christ's dying on the cross and the glorious resurrection on Easter morning. The not yet comes from the waiting. The waiting endured until Christ comes again, what we know as the second coming. In essence, that is what this letter, 2 Thessalonians, is all about. Hope and a hope in the second coming. This letter written to the church in Thessalonica reminds them that Christ has not yet returned. There seemed to be some debate over this. Paul writes this letter to remind them that Christ will return. And until that time, they are to hold on to hope. The hope given to them by God in Jesus. It is because of this hope in Christ that Paul prays for them. He prays that they will remain true to the teachings of the gospel. He prays that their hearts will be strengthened in every good deed and word. In Paul's days, the heart referred to the inner convictions of a person. It was more than just the organ beating in our body. It was more about the center, the very being of a person. All thoughts, words, deeds, hopes, fears, and actions came from the heart of a person. The heart was the point of contact with God. Through the heart, God could work in the life of a person. Prayer begins in the heart. This is why Paul prays that the readers' hearts may be encouraged and strengthened. Paul prays for strengthened hearts for those who read this letter so that they too might be able to spread the good news of Christ to others. I think it is important here to dwell on the importance of prayer and how to examine how that strengthens our inner beings. Paul prayed for the inner convictions to be strengthened, not the outer convictions. We live in a world where the outward is stressed. When we make wishes, we wish for material things. New clothes, new cars, better jobs with better paychecks, new electronic toys. We are only a few weeks away from Thanksgiving and the holiday shopping extravaganza, and already we are being bombarded with commercials telling us what we need and why we need it. But do we really need all that stuff? Do we really need all the stuff to make us happy? Does it really fulfill us? Does getting our every wish for a bigger and better make our world better? No. Given the current economic state of our world and the continual state of civil unrest, many people around the world are waking up to the reality that material things, bigger and better, don't really satisfy the needs of life. Just having the basic necessities of life, like food and shelter, is what is truly important. Just being surrounded by loved ones is important. Having a loving relationship with God is important. It's hard not to think about Thanksgiving and Christmas when you walk through any store these days. And as we think about this holiday season that is approaching us very rapidly, we know that for some, this season will be different from the past. Some families, for the first time, face holidays with concerns about jobs, keeping the one that they have or finding a new one. Many families face the holidays with stress and strain of life hampered by a new diagnosis, illness, poverty, a recent loss in their lives, or difficult life-changing events. How do we cope during these times of stress and strain? We cope through turning to the hope that is available to us in Christ Jesus. Yet when one turns to God in difficult times, one must place their heart before God. By allowing God to strengthen our hearts, our inner convictions, we allow God to work through us. We become Christ's servants in this world. But first, we must truly open our own hearts to God. How can we do this? Through prayer. It is through prayer that we strengthen our inner beings. It is through prayer that we nurture our souls. We nourish the life within us so that we might have strength, direction, and stability. When we strengthen our hearts within us, we can then spread that hope to others. For many of us, music is what speaks to our hearts. And much of the theology that we learn actually comes to us not through just reading scripture, but through the hymns and songs of praise that we love. There is a hymn that expresses these thoughts on hope well, and I want to share it with you. It's a new hymn for you, and yes, we're going to sing it after the sermon today. It's found on page 538 in your hymnal if you'd like to follow along. The first verse, I'm going to let you get there. So the first verse of this hymn reads, "Hope of the world, O Christ of great compassion, speak to our fearful hearts by conflict rent. Save us, your people, from consuming passion, who by our own false hopes and aims are spent." You see, it reminds us that Christ is the hope of the world. Just as Paul prayed, the author of this hymn wants Christ to speak to our hearts. Our own hopes and aims in life are not enough. We need to open our hearts to the hope given to us by God, and that hope is Jesus Christ. Listen to the words from the remaining verses of this hymn. Listen to how hope, Christ Jesus, is with us, and how the author calls on him to walk with us, to shine his light on our path, to constantly remind us of his love and how he is the one who gives us hope over death. Verse 2 reads, "Hope of the world, God's gift from highest heaven, bringing to hungry souls the bread of life. Still let your spirit unto us be given to heal earth's wounds and end its bitter strife." Verse 3, "Hope of the world, afoot on dusty highways, showing to wandering souls the path of light. Walk now beside us, lest the tempting byways lure us from you to endless night." And from verse 4, "Hope of the world, who by your cross did save us from death and dark despair, from sins and guilt we render back the love your mercy gave us. Take now our lives and use them as you will." And then verse 5, "Hope of the world, O Christ, o'er death victorious, who by this sign did conquer grief and pain, we would be faithful to your gospel glorious. You are our Christ, and you forever reign." When the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion, they were the ones who were hopeless. They said to the stranger that showed up and started walking with them, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." They had heard the story of the resurrection, but they did not yet believe. But as they walked, they opened their hearts to the stranger who was with them, and this stranger explained to them the scriptures as they walked. But it was not until he took bread and broke it with them that their eyes were fully opened as to who he was. They recognized Jesus who had been walking with them, and they were full of hope. They said, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They then ran to spread that hope to the other disciples. They wanted to share that hope that was given to them through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Much like the disciples, there's a man named Saul DeMichelli. I always question how to say his last name. But he wants to spread hope to the hopeless in the same way. In 2011, Sal was nominated to be one of CNN's Heroes of the Year. And he has a very unique story. Sal grew up in poverty. His father had a terrible gambling habit, and the family suffered greatly. There were days when food was scarce. When he was 12, he started working as a dishwasher, and he made a promise to God that if he became successful, he would always help those in need. He has more than kept that promise. He eventually started a nonprofit that gives every penny to those in need. His philanthropy has taken several forms over the last four decades. In 2003, he wrote a column for a paper in Wisconsin where he lives. And through his column, he helps those in need. And he always signs his column WC, which stands for With Christ. He doesn't just help people with food or bills. Sal tries to get at the root of the problem. His foundation helps with the immediate needs like rent, but then he goes over the recipients' budgets and he finds ways to stabilize their long-term situations. He wants to return hope where there was none. He said, "When people are in need, they often feel alone. I want them to know someone cares about them. I want to say, come on, I have a little extra strength I want to share with you. Let me help you get back on your feet." Sal's story is a story of hope, giving hope to those who have none, sharing love with those who need it the most. We too are called to share that hope, the hope that we know through Jesus Christ. We are called to share the hope of the world with others. I pray that you will make Paul's prayer your own this week so we can fill this world with hope. Amen. We've come to our time in our worship service where we extend an invitation to anyone who is here who would like to become a member of this congregation. You can come forward and make your confession of faith, or if you would like to reaffirm your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the hope of the world, you may come forward as we stand and sing our commitment hymn number 538, Hope of the World.